The GC Index is what we call is the world's first organometric. It measures how people are energized to make an impact to a role, team, organization. Got all these lovely societal boxes, and as you say, other boxes, you might put them in with other tools and measurements and whatever. And I'm thinking, yeah, but it doesn't really matter. Can we just not value people for the impact that they make?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today's episode, I'm really excited about it. Today is Nathan Ott, who is one of the co-creators of GC Index. Also, Chief Polisher is his title. And so we're going to get into that a bit. But Nathan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Really pleased to be here, Shauna. Thank you. I'm excited to see where this conversation goes. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So folks, I always give you context to how I know the guest and why I have the guest that I do. And today, GC Index is actually a framework that is used in to transform, to really disrupt the way that people manage talent. And so it is actually also an accreditation that I've received in this year. And so I've used the tool in the coaching that I do with people and in the consulting that I do with brands. So it gave me the opportunity to bring Nathan on, as I said, one of the co-creators, to talk about it. It is something that is based or founded in England, in London, so you can hear from Nathan's accent. And so it's new, and I think that I always try to bring you things that are new and different, maybe you haven't heard of, but it's I really think it's the way forward for working with people and, again, like disrupting the management of talent. So, Nathan, you can speak about it much better than I can as the founder, as a co-creator. So give us your take on it.
Well, I don't know. I think you did a very good job there, actually, Shauna. Thank you. The GC Index is what we call is the world's first organometric. So it's an organometric, and people may be accustomed to psychometrics, but the GC Index is an organometric, and people say, what is that? Well, it is what it says. It's an organization metric, and it measures how people are energized to make an impact to a role, team, organization, and it's a piece of data that we've never had before. And that, I think, is what's quite exciting, because it complements the other data that we already get when making people decisions. Yeah, so that's how it is. Yeah, is that enough? I mean, I can talk about the GC Index all day, right? So I'm going to pause. So is that?
Absolutely, I think so. So let's break it down a little bit, because it really is this notion that everybody can make an impact and everybody can contribute. And I want to talk a little bit about how it's different to some of the other metrics or tools. So things that, and I've actually not been someone who has had a very positive experience with a lot of the other kind of tools that measure people. Yeah. And I'm using a lot of air quotes as people are listening to the sun and not watching it. But and the reason I do that is because I'm not like the air quotes measurements, and because I felt like a lot of times they give people labels that can almost like stigmatize someone, where it's like, well, you're a J or you're an I, or part of why I love GC Index so much is it is this almost continuum of, again, to your point, your energy and where are your natural energies, so that everyone can contribute, everyone can have an impact, but in a way that really suits where they are naturally inclined. So it's almost a little bit less painful for people.
I mean, absolutely. That's where this came from. The original research is that I spent a lot of time on the diversity circuit. We've got all these lovely societal boxes. And as you say, other boxes, you might put them in with other tools and measurements and whatever. And I'm thinking, yeah, but it doesn't really matter. Can we just not value people for the impact that they make? I mean, I was often the only man at a women's conference, or I was often the only white person at a BAME or Red conference, or straight person LGBT, and so on. And I was just sort of thinking, well, can't we just see people for the impact they make? Because, and that's where the GC Index sort of originated from, really, was what is it? What is that natural energy that we all have to make an impact? And we have this very clear vision that whether you're a Fortune CEO or a child in a developing country, you've got a positive impact to make. And this is a language and a framework that can bring that to the surface and make sure everyone's making their positive impact. And that's what it's about. That's what it is. Yeah.
And so at the very, very basic level, folks, it is a tool. It is a measurement, again. And so it's the way people take it. It's has over 50 questions, but it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And honestly, I use it with so many people that I coach and people in organizations. And one of the things, to your point about language, is it really does give people new language for how to describe themselves and how to describe where their strengths are and how they can make an impact. So I just want to let people know in the audience that it is something that you take it as a virtual experience. It's about 59 questions. You get an assessment that shows where it actually looks like a Simon Says. I'm looking at my, it's not Simon Says. When I was a kid, I don't know if you had this, Nathan. So when I was a kid,
I should have let you step that. Did you not know that? That was the inspiration of the model. Did you not know that?
So I'm a six. I didn't actually know that. So
So
if people are listening, I'm actually showing a sticker that represents the category. So there's five categories. In a second, Nathan, I'd love for you to describe what the five categories are. But it literally looks like that game when I was a kid, that was the Simon game.
I'm so glad you said that, by the way, because that's exactly where it came from. That was inspiration. Cool. You'll understand more about me being a polisher that I just steal things. So that's right.
So good. So, and again, in these five categories, you end up having a score in each one of them, and it's not wanting to be really high in one or low in the other. And if you're low or high, it doesn't mean good or bad. It's just literally a continuum. So Nathan, can you walk us through those five categories, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So if people can't see, obviously, so we just understand that people will have energy to make an impact in three main ways: through ideas, through tasks, get things done, or through people. We'll all do that, or a variation of those. Okay, so the five areas will represent that: ideas, tasks, and people. So just people. Now, on the idea side, we have the game changer. Game changer, work in a world of possibilities. So think of them as cool, crazy ideas, things no one's ever thought of, right? But then you also have those people which we call strategists. Okay, strategists also have ideas, but they're a bit more structured. They want to make sense of the world. They've got ideas, but don't know how they fit in, all right? So they use your ideas, structured, unstructured. Game changer, strategist. Then on the task side, you've got a role called implementer. These people just want to get stuff done. In fact, if they listen to your podcast now, they're probably going, hurry up and get on with it. Can you move on, please? You know, that's all, you know. They just want to get stuff done. I've got stuff to do. Or they're probably listening to it while they're doing something, right? You know? But that's the implementer. The other task role is polisher, which is, as you said, my role title. Now, they want to get things done, but they want to get them done really well, much more obsessive in that way. So their vernacular is, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing properly. And then in the middle, we have this fifth, which we call playmaker, and a nod to my sporting interest and background, playmaker. But these individuals, or this proclivity, isn't around, or this characteristic isn't around through ideas or through tasks, but through people. But not in a way, and you've mentioned already personality tools, not in a way that we're socially skilled or politically correct or learn behaviors, not this sort of stuff. This is a real belief that if we get the relationships right, everything else will follow. So there you are: game changer, strategist, implementer, polisher, playmaker. And we're all bits of these. Okay, we're not one or the other.
Right.
And I think it's really important just to say is, we've spent a lot of this world around strengths. I've a bit of a challenge with the word strengths, because that would imply that if you have a low score, something, you're not very good at it, right? And low, or you have a weakness. And the GC index isn't about strengths or competence. You get a low score can be really help you maximize your impact. A high score can really impede you. You know, so it's not about how high is good, low is bad. It's not like that at all. And I think that's what's really resonating with people. It's not putting people in boxes and saying you're good, you're bad, and you've got to improve on this, because that's just I find that quite divisive, actually. Yeah. And then we have a much more inclusive approach. anyway.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I love that. And so folks, as Nathan was describing that, it, as he said, you're not necessarily like all one. So I'm not like a game changer and only a game changer. I personally have some like a higher number in my game changing area, but I also have a pretty high number in the strategy area. So it's like, as I was to describe myself, I would say that I'm a game changer strategist. And so, and again, and partly why I say that is because it's a great way to look at, sometimes we can also that helps us to keep ourselves in check. So sometimes that strategy side helps my game changer side not be so out there with these creative, crazy ideas type thing. So I think part of what I find the beauty of the tool and the assessment is that it helps us kind of think of that for ourselves, but also within teams. And I'm glad you pointed to the sporting bit because we're going to get to that in a bit, in a second. Yeah. But it also helps us to understand how we, each individual person actually, fits into a team. And so if I know that I have that my energy in a certain area, I know that maybe my teammate is where their energies are, so I can figure out how best to collaborate with that person, how right. to sometimes make up for certain things where I might not have that strong energy. And I know you said about the strength, but that's the word that came to my mind. You know, again, so this balancing thing.
Yeah, I haven't banned the word strength or strong from the English dictionary. Don't worry, it's fine. This is more... But it just would imply that person's strong there. And if you get a lower, then you're not strong there. And that doesn't feel good, right? So, and it's, you know, if we talk about sort of I've got a one on implementer. As I've just said, implementers get things done, do it, get it off, tick up a list. It doesn't mean that I'm not any good at doing the dishes. I can do the dishes. I'm actually brilliant at them. I can just implement those dishes. Yeah, I'm really good. But it takes more energy than it gives. Yeah.
Right.
Over a sustained period. And I can do it. And so if you get, I can do it, but it takes more energy over a period of time. And so that's how it starts to work with people, because it starts to give people an understanding of, that's why I'm feeling a bit tired, or that's why I'm feeling depleted, or that's why I'm excited, or that's why that person's not engaging, and so on and so on and so on. Because it's, if people just think about it, what gives you energy, what takes energy away, it gives you a framework to manage that. And it leads to a lot of benefits, from productivity to employee benefit, well-being, and all that.
Yeah. And describe it that way, I think, also really helps you can see in a team how, you know, if you have a team of people together, and as one person might be, again, like if they're working in a space where that's not where their natural energies are, right. It could feel like that person might be dragging or not completing or taking longer.
Yeah.
And I think as people in the audience, if you know, there's a lot of leaders in the audience, and sometimes you might have a staff member and you're like, what is going on? Like, why, what's happening with that person? And I think part of the beauty of this giving people language to use, sometimes we only have the language and that experience that we've had thus far. So maybe that person doesn't know how to explain.
100%.
What's going on? And you as a leader may not be able to explain, well, this person is just so great in so many ways, but what is this one thing they keep stubbing their toe?
Yeah.
And sometimes, and so again, like this is part of why I love from leaders and from teams and individuals, like the way the tool and the GC Index comes to life is so relatable and so like action oriented, I think. Implementable.
I've got loads on that. So actually 100%. I mean, there's a whole theme. We could probably do a whole other podcast around being the leader and then taking the lead, you know, because for leaders as well, they feel they've got to be this perfect leader because they've got to be this way. I've got to be strategic. I've got to be the playmaker. I've got to be there. I've got to be all these things. And they feel quite vulnerable when they won't necessarily say it. But if you've got people in your team that can actually energize to do that, you could go, well, you take a lead on that. I'm still the leader. I'll approve it, but you know, you take the lead, and they're energized. So it's that stop. Leadership is quite one-dimensional. If we look at how leadership historically has been sort of done in Brendan's whole notion of high potentials, what we've done is we've gone, what's been successful in the past? That's what we need to become our leadership framework. There, you, Mr. or Mrs. Talent, have got to fit into this. And you think, you know, rather we're able to say, this person is talented. This is where they're energized. this is the work we need to be done. Let's match it. Let's make them be successful. And it brings on, it's a lot easier. You know, it's a lot easier. But yeah, there's a number of things there. And it's just that the common thing we've got is people said, I know where I fit in now. I actually know where I fit in. This is how to use me. Yeah. And I didn't know how to articulate it. I didn't want to go to my boss and say, oh God, you know, which is really tiring and draining me here. But now they can. They've got a framework to do that in a safe way. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate that you said that part about there's a safe way, because I think even within a system, and when I received my accreditation, I got this little package. It was the cutest little package, and I'm going to hold up these magnets that we got. I love this, Ethan, by the way. I use them all the time. I'm showing them on the screen for folks who are listening. I got these 5 magnets, and each one of them represents one of the categories. And so I actually also use them as kind of my fidget at times. But I think it's also because if you can imagine, if there's a leadership team at a table meeting, and maybe there's one person, and they're constantly like that strategist person who just, you know, they're the extreme side of that, and they keep going around and around on something, or the game changer that's like off on this crazy idea, that not crazy, but out there idea.
It might be seen as crazy. Yeah. So then they won't be crazy at all.
Yeah, exactly. Which I say, as I shared, I score high in game changing. But part of why I love this language is because it also makes it safe for people to almost like wait. I mentioned these magnets because imagine if I'm in that room and I'm off on my idea that I think is so great. Everyone's like, what is that? Someone could hold up a little like game changer. They're like, oh, you're being a bit of this. Yeah. And I can pull you back and go, okay, because these are all, it's all energy. It's tendencies. And if we're really being authentic to who we are, we're also understanding where our tendencies can have some watch outs. Yeah. So again, I'm really glad that you brought that up. I say that from the leadership side, but also from someone who is part of a team. So your point, like if they go into their boss and they're able to actually articulate for the first time, like, I can do this implementing, but it is just so draining for me. And I get so bored in it. And this is actually where I'm have more energy. And it creates that just that language and that safety to be able to articulate that and then figure out the best use of the person within the construct.
Yeah, and look, we've picked on a poor implement, right? The low influencers, you know, but the sense of it doesn't, if you've got a low implementer score, it doesn't mean you get out of implementing. Let's just be clear. things still need to be done, but you can sort of say, look, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But recognize this drains me. Okay, but what anchors we need to put in? Do it for 2 months, do it for 2 weeks, do it for a period of time. We'll help you. And then there'll be some stuff that gives you more energy at the end of it. But we need this done because that's the needs of the company. So we have to do it. You know?
Yeah.
I know we spoke about sport, but it's sort of like, you know, I'm on an American show, right? So I call it soccer. It's football. I'm sorry, we use our feet. You know, I beg your pardon, right? But
I live in a British household. We call it football as well.
And look, it doesn't matter. I don't know other sports or hockey or whatever, but if we're playing soccer, right, and I'm a striker, yeah, okay, I'm energized because I want to impact the team by scoring goals. That's what I want to do. Yeah, that's my energy. That's what I want to do, right? And that's kind of what we're measuring the GC index is. As soon as they set out on that pitch, their energy is, I want to help the team score goals. They might not be any good at it. They could be terrible at it. We don't know, right? Okay, that's what we're measuring, but that's what they want to do. Now, if we're 1-0 up, and it's 5 minutes to go, we're going to have to go to that striker. You've got to come back now. You've got to defend now. Okay? For the next 5 minutes, we'll win the game. Yeah? But I want to go up front and score more goals. No, don't do that because we might let one in. We just need to, like... And it's that type of play, if you understand. It's managing that energy in the business the same as managing that sports play, you know, in the same way. And all we're doing is measuring that energy in the world of work. But that's an analogy that sort of helps with people. It's, you know, that striker will be brilliant. Yeah, when we're attacking, but we need them to defend. They'll need help because they'd be de-energized by it.
No, and I've shared with you that I do talk a lot about this business athlete concept, and I do use a lot of sport analogies because of my background. So I'm glad you brought that up. And you've actually used this within some sporting organizations as well. And again, there's a lot of people in the who are part of the audience who represent different, you know, sporting, call it verticals. Mm-hmm. So can you share a bit about how you're using it within a sports property and, you know, like how it comes to life?
Well, the first thing, of course, is that any professional sport, success is in the margins. All right. So everyone's looking for a bit of a differentiation. So the first piece of different, this is a piece of data that no one's ever had before. So it's a piece of data that sports teams are looking at as going, well, this could be, this is an edge. And it is an edge because it's a piece of data that no one else has. If we've got this data about our people, it helps us make better decisions. That's the first thing. Okay. Right. And how they're using it they're using it for on-field, off-field relationships between the two. So coaches to players, players to coaches, players to backroom staff, coaches to the broader staff, because they're all of a sudden got this same language of how they can be valued. Because particularly in the world of sport, everything's put up as they're the athletes, so therefore they're the, you know, and but where do the rest of the value come from? You know, so how do I know the person making me the cup of coffee or the breakfast nutritionist or whatever? So it's understanding how they make it. So it's working from really coaches to players relationships, because it gives us an insight as to how players or athletes have energy for their training. Yeah, so if I've got a bunch of strategist athletes, you better explain why we're doing this. Yeah. Okay. All right. If I've got a bunch of game changer athletes and you've got some stories of game changer, let them be free. They want to be free. They want to be free to express. Give them chance to express. Playmaker athletes will want to feel collaborative. They'll take a sense of, does everyone understand? Is everyone all right? We're in this together. Polisher athletes will never settle for good enough. Really not settle for good enough. And they'll be super critical. And you manage them differently. Implementer athletes, don't spend too long. Just get them out there doing stuff, right? Okay, get them training, get them doing, give them results. So it's things like that. And coaches will coach differently. Yeah, there's one, can't mention who it is, but one world winning sports national team. And they had a big polisher coach. And you had the team itself were very implementer playmakery, and that was causing friction between the coach because he was never happy. He was never happy. He wouldn't let them deliver results. He wouldn't let them huddle. He was always, this could be better, this could be better. And he's actually causing a problem. But understanding that this wasn't a difficult guy, this is where it's come from, is not happy and wants things to be perfect. The team made their space and they said it's lovely. I think they on the video, they said something like, he brought calmness. And for the first time ever, we only had one mistake in our set plays in training for the last couple of years. Things like that, because it brought calmness. Anyways, so
yeah,
is that an example?
It's absolutely perfect. And I think I talk so much about, again, the parallels between sports teams, coaches, players, and then the business side of it. And so even the way you described it, I think is really helpful because, again, when you understand the categories and how people are operating, it really helps you figure out, again, how to have people working in their strengths and why a certain person is doing a certain thing or has a tendency to do a certain thing. And you know, again, I think from a leader's perspective, when you mentioned something about like the coach and the player and like the dynamic between the two of them. And I think that's part of the beauty is also, if you have an idea of who you're going into a room to have a conversation with, then you can recognize that they may have a certain tendency. So you may, to your point about if you have a strategist player, then I think what you said was you better tell them why. So again, if you're imagining if you're within a business setting and you have a team and you're a leader of a team and you're going to go talk to someone who is more of a strategist mindset and energy, then you know that to get through to that person, you need to explain it to them. You need to give them the why of what they're doing. But, you know, again, like that can be very different to people who have their energy in different places. So again, it's almost like allows you to see around the corner a little bit and anticipate and prepare differently.
Yeah, and people are valued for what they bring, and they feel valued, right? Okay, because at the end of the day, we're human doings, yeah. And if we're being valued for something we're good at and we like doing, and it's valued by others, well, then we start feeling like human beings, right? So, and it's that. But I mean, you'll have some very sophisticated leaders on this program, I would have thought, right? So, is this you guys? Probably already know this, right? And as in fact, as people, this is a language that Jesus is almost bringing to the service, a language we already know.
Yes.
That's all it's really, because you would have done, surely, you would have worked with someone for 6 months or a year, and you would have worked out, this is what I know this person's going to do, or this is how, why we work well together. You see great partnerships in sport or in business. Yeah. They know this, right? And they, but it takes them months sometimes to go, that's what they bring. That's what they do. That's the Jesus just brings that in seconds. It just enables people to have a language to go, this is how we're going to compliment each other. This is how we're going to butt heads quite quickly in an actionable way that isn't personality. It's
right.
Depersonalizing it. It's not. But yeah, but a lot of people will know this.
Mm-hmm.
But it just gives everyone that language to the surface is what it really, really does. Saying that everyone already knows is, I probably just demeaned 10 years of my life. But anyway, but you know what I mean, right? But
there's a familiarity to it. And that is actually something that I get from the majority of people that I run through the actual assessment. And that is like the phrase that I get people where it's like, this makes sense. This language is really usable, actionable. And that's the thing, because it's not giving a whole new language that you have to remember and like point to a glossary to say, wait, what was a J? What was an I? And so I think that is one of the biggest, one of the best things about it, I guess, what I'm getting from people. The other thing is the accuracy. I ran through it with someone yesterday, actually, and she was just blown away. She was like, okay, so basically this is me on a piece of paper. And for her, and again, some of those things are pointing out some tendencies that can be challenges.
Yeah.
But it also shares it, or it brings it to the surface in a way that, to your point, it's not good or bad. It's like just energy. And how do you work with it? How do you work around it? How do you, again, like you work with other people in order to create that balance? And sometimes it's like a freeing. It's like, oh my goodness, now I see that I actually don't have a lot of energy for, and now we're picking, today's pick on implementer day, strategy. Yeah. And so you're like, oh, okay, great. Then I feel free to say, John's going to do that part. And now I know how to use him and free myself up from that anxiety and painful experience of having to force myself to do that.
Well, it's actually why I call myself the chief polisher rather than CEO, because I've been CEO of my previous organizations, and it didn't really feel that authentic, because you're a CEO, you know, a bit of a business leader. We have this vision or view of what leaders should be. They've got to set the direction. They must be strategic. You know, they've got to be able to, you know, take people with them and all that good stuff. Which is, I don't do that. Right? It's not really. I try, but it de-energizes me. Okay, And it's okay when it's, yeah. But then when things go, there's only so long I could pretend that for them, and then I'll just blow up, because I'm a polisher game changer, right? That's me. I'm not strategic. I don't want to spend time articulating a vision. I've got very low playmaker score. So if people don't do what I ask them the first time, it drains me. You know, I've got learned behavior where I'll smile and nod my head and go, oh, that's okay. Don't worry. But inside, I'm dying. Right? And so, yeah,
we all have these things, which is, I'm just laughing because, like, it must be the ease with which you can talk about it.
Yeah, and so, yeah. And so I'm like, oh no, right? So we have learned behaviors, and we go on skills and politically correct and socially skilled. I'm socially skilled, I understand, but inside, oh my god, it's draining me now. So that's why I said, well, I'm calling myself the chief polisher, because then people know what to get from me. They know, and I can be myself. Yeah, it doesn't mean I'm then sort of rude and obsessive and stuff, you know, but it makes it easier for me to people. And when we have a strategic thing to do in the business, I'll look to my strategist and go, what do you think? Now, I'm still sort of the co-founder, so I will approve it, or I'm still the leader, but I don't want to be in that strategist bit. I don't want, well, that's not me, and don't look for me at that. I've got other people to do the playmaking stuff. Yeah, I mean, they know that that's not my energy, so they leave me alone. But they value me for what I go and do out in the market or what I do with the products, and I feel authentic. I feel relaxed. They feel happy. They've got their roles. And so, yeah, that's why I don't call myself CEO, because yeah, I'm not the CEO.
I'm so glad that you shared that story. And partly because, as you know, this platform that I've created is very much about elevating the voices of diverse, authentic leaders. And yeah. And that actually came up when you and I were talking the other day when you shared that story with me initially. And so I love that because you're committed to be authentic to who you are in the role that you have and to maximizing the impact you have and maximizing your contribution. And by leaning into that and having that language and being open about it, you're able to be like the leader of the organization, but again, in a way that's authentic and effective for you. And so, you know, again, I really appreciate that because a air quote CEO does not look the same. They're not the same makeup. People have their authentically different ways of being, of leading, of interacting. And so, you know, I think, again, there's some freeing around knowing that it is great to be able to do that in different ways. It's also great to have the language and the knowledge and the ability to know how to to play to your strengths and use other people to help figure out how to step in to complement, to balance, you know.
Yeah, we do. So I'm going to carry on talking about soccer because I'll probably get out of my jurisdiction talking about more US-focused sports, right?
No, please.
but that's right. You know, you can see the penalty, yeah? Okay, you're the captain, right? So you're the lead or whatever, right? You're the captain or whatever. You can see the penalty. You don't say, right, I'll tell you how the goalkeeper has saved the penalty. The goalkeeper saves the penalty, right? The goalkeeper does it. The striker scores the goals. The midfielder does midfield. We've all got our role to play. And it just gives us a nice framework of knowing when to lead and when others can take the lead. And that is so, not refreshing, I'm saying so energizing for leaders. I've seen these go, oh, I'm so glad I haven't got to go and devise that strategy paper. I'm so pleased. I've just got to, yes. Yeah, or I haven't got to go and do this. I mean, I remember one said leader, there's quite a small software company and they do a lot of consultancy. And he says, this is why they do software development. This is why you should never put me on user acceptance testing. Because I just go, yep, done. And move on to the next thing. And that's why I get bored. Yeah, don't put me on that. So you get the point. In fact, that leader's got quite a nice thing because he's not a big implementer at all. And he's got his magnets that you've got there, and he has them on a metal thing above his desk. And in his implementer one, he's created a little box, his break glass in case of emergency. Only implement where really necessary. Don't let me do it. So, yeah.
And now they laugh about it. The CEO, they laugh about it. They know about it, but they know just don't get in that stuff. Don't expect that of him.
Yeah, don't do that. So
I think we've made. Well, that's actually a really good point. What you just said is don't expect that of them. Because again, when we don't have the language necessarily to describe how we operate best and where we don't have a lot of energy for something, if we're not speaking to that, we often have other people's assumptions and expectations for what someone in a role has, call it a air quote CEO, call it a leader, whatever. If there's no conversation around that or no, then it's like, well, I'm going to expect that that person is going to deliver on all those areas. And maybe it's like for me, I have a lower score in polishing. And I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many times that I'll send out an email and I'm like, damn it, it had a typo because I was like, yeah, it's good enough. I got the point across, boom, it goes out. And then I wanted like cringe because I didn't have that, you know, extra element to it. But so maybe I do that and I have someone who proofs something before I send it out.
Yeah.
If I don't articulate that, you know what, this is a little bit of my Achilles heel on this, and this is why, they may think that I'm treating them and I really value their extra set of eyes on something. Mm-hmm. They could have an expectation or an assumption rather that I'm just using them as like to do some low task of reviewing something for me, you know, that I don't really value it or whatever, but I'm actually like, I need your eyes because I have a tendency to.
Can you just polish this for me? Yeah. Just polish this email for me. Yeah. Please, don't mind. 5 minutes, polish. Give this a quick 5 minute polish. Do you mind? It's a really important email. Can you polish it for me? Rather than going, I'll proofread this for you. It's not nice. She had to send a really, really big email, big law firm. First burst of email to all the partners. Took her hours. And so she just called an implementer and went, can you just press send? But she couldn't press send. So they got the implementer to press the send for her. But yeah, it's just helps a sense check and have that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's kind of recap for folks. It is a tool. Talk about how people are using it literally. Like it can be used for individuals. It can be used for leadership teams. It can be used for literally within sports teams for on field. It can also be for the coaching staff, the players, also on office. So give a little bit, if there's anything more different that you want to say about literally how it's used that way.
But it's we also have a young people index as well for 13 to 18 year olds. So it also gets used in schools, education, social sort of development for charity sectors. Because if it starts off at the highest level, that people get an understanding of what impact they want to make in the world. And I know that sounds grand, right? Okay, but you know, but it could be an impact they want to make in a role, whether in a job. So everybody takes the GC index first themselves and they get a review. They get someone to talk through their profile with them because we want to make sure they get the insights. And you normally get a revelation or validation. That's why that is. I didn't know that about myself. That's not me. And then you go through it I'll give you a quick example. Sorry, one lady actually refused. It's a Thursday evening. She refused that she was a punisher. They refused it. Absolutely refused it. So we thought, let's stop. Don't worry. Let's settle. Go away. Come back. She emailed us on Thursday night. Sorry, Sunday night. So it was Thursday to review. Sunday night she emailed us, which is probably some face validity right there. I've spoken to my husband and my family. I am a polisher, right? So the point is that we get that validation and revelation, right? So and that's a really important part of all of this, because if it's a young child, they'll understand how they can interact with their parents, how they can interact with teachers. If it's a leader, they can say, this is my leadership style, if you're in a team, and so on. Then it all roll up to teams, okay? So then that team could be a sports team, yeah? We've all got a purpose. We've all got a goal to achieve, whether it's win a match, sell a company, hit a revenue number. We've all got a purpose and a goal. And so then when it rolls up at a team, it becomes really much more powerful, because then we're starting to have the conversations and then the magic happens. Because and then we roll it out across all organizations, any project, any process. Yeah. If you just looked at your processes today in your company, we'll be able to go, that's an implemented process. This is a game changer requirement process. Who's going to put the energy to do this? You need new ideas here. This requires stakeholder management. This requires getting people together, much more playmaker. This needs thinking about and aligning it, strategists. So you can start mapping out projects, processes. So it's almost endless.
Yeah.
But it starts with that person having that revelation or validation about themselves, then teams, then business units, then companies.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes a ton of sense. And I'll also add with it can be used for leaders in the singular and leaders leading a team. It also is very effective with a leadership team, knowing how best to work with each other and listen, I have sat at the table in very ineffective leadership teams where there are, you know, there's a lot of challenges and there's like fear to speak up and all of these things. And so I've actually been, as I shared with you, Nathan, I'm been hired by someone to for their leadership team, would go to the offsite and help coach them through it. Each one is going to take the assessment, and then we're going to meet as a leadership team and talk about how best they can work with each other now that they know that these tendencies exist. And so again, I just say that for the audience to, you know, really there are ample ways to use this and to have it actually help within an organization at various levels.
And most, I would imagine most of the time, the only framework these teams have used to understand this dysfunction or these challenges is around personality.
Right.
And they become personal. What we're saying, we're not saying personality is not use, personality is useful, but when it comes to having conversations about what the team needs to achieve and how they want to do it and stuff, we depersonalize. The GC Index depersonalizes, and we get our feedback. It depersonalizes it. It takes away egos. People feel safe to speak up.
Yeah,
because the team aren't saying Nathan is really difficult and doesn't listen and always wants things to be better. Polishers always want things, and I go, yeah, and so polishers want things to be better and always super critical. So you're getting to a phase, and you sort of mentioned sort of some of the MBTI, and it's much easier to go, look, Shauna, this John or Susie's a big implementer, you need to work with them. It's much easier to say that than going, look, Shauna, they're an ENTP, sunshine yellow, and oh, it's really hard, right? I mean, and so it's a quick language to get to decisions for teams, and they can move on and get the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the time that we have left, I want to ask a few more additional things. There is an element of GC Index that is actually called GC Translate, which uses AI technology. Can you, which I find also very helpful, and if I've explained it wrong, please tell me. But can you talk about that and explain that to the audience?
Yeah, it's not a fully AI tool. It's we want to keep some control of it ourselves, but it's a human assisted AI tool. Which if people just think about Google Translate, so Google Translate, you've got two boxes. One on the left, you put your input text in. Hola, mi llamo Nathan, and on the other side it comes, hello, I'm called Nathan, right? Okay, and so you've got that. And so it's exactly the same as that, but what you do on the left-hand side is you put the text of a job profile, your LinkedIn bio, your company strategy, any content, communication strategy, and then the tool will translate it into the GC Index language. Now, you've called it, we call them proclivities. So a GC Index measures proclivity, yeah, okay, and you'll see it. And then it gives you a report of the percentage of the terms you've used in your context. So we're actually mapping the energy for impact of your content. So it could be that you have got a role profile in for a sales director and it's written in implementer polisher language, just delivers results, improve results, get stuff done better, boom, boom. Don't think too much, no ideas, don't worry about people. So no playmaker, no strategy, game changer. And then you can actually look at the candidates you've got for that role, the person in that role, and how well does it match? And that's just one example, but it could be anything. It could be your communication strategy, sales strategy, your LinkedIn bio. Are you represented yourself in a way that you want to be representing yourself? That sort of stuff. Is that enough explanation?
I mean, it's absolutely perfect because, again, I think when we only have the language that we know, and where there's also a big thing that I talk about a lot is the difference between intention and perception. So if we're using the language that we know and we have a certain intention, what we're trying to communicate, but actually the language that we're using is putting other people in a position where they have a different perception of it. Again, so using GC Translate can help us to almost intercede there and minimize that difference between intention and perception, I think.
100%. And I think it's been really great GC Translate because people have gone, they get addicted to it. They want to put everything in it. I think I'll probably put my wedding vows in it when I'm brave enough, right? To make sure that I'm actually doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But you could put any content in that, and people are rewriting their role adverts, they're rewriting their websites, they're rewriting their messaging, their business plans, their project plans, because you can run a project plan through it and go, actually, what we're asking of people here is just get stuff done well. Right? So, and we've got a bunch of game-changer strategies here, then this is a mismatch with the role we need in the project to the people that we've got. It doesn't mean you have to fire them all or change it. It just helps you make decisions around how we're going to get through these projects with people that are energized with the work that needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's true. I've used that with people that I work with. I've used it again for, as you said, like LinkedIn bios, about sections, resumes. I've used it in, you know, again, like the messaging for when I'm doing consulting, the messaging for, you know, a company like that. One thing that you actually had brought to my attention, which I think is a brilliant use of it, is related to someone's board, like their advisory board or, you know, that board of the company, because it's understanding the makeup of you have. So imagine if you have all polishers or all strategists or, you know, so you may look at that and say, again, to your point, it doesn't mean that you get rid of them. It's just like, okay, how do I work with them? Maybe I create a new seat on a board, and because I have all of this, I want a sum of this to help balance. So I think that's another great usage case.
100%. It actually gives us a frame to go, how does this help us? Yeah. How does this help us be successful? What we've got to watch out for? And so, I don't know, I'll take my soccer example again, and I go, like, We've got a match tomorrow and I've got no strikers. I'll just use strikers, it's easy. I've got no strikers, right? And that's the same to your analogy. We've got all this stuff to do, but we've got a bunch of polishers. I've got no strikers, but we've still got to go and score goals. So how does this help us? And when it helps us, well, we won't concede many goals because everyone's defensive-minded, blah, blah. But we need to work out how we're going to score goals tomorrow. And it's the same way with your polisher example is, well, this really works well with us because we know we do stuff well, we improve upon stuff. But are we taking people with us? We've got no playmaker. How are we doing that? How are we managing stakeholders? How are we doing that? And they get that decision themselves. Yeah. So it's not like, I'll get rid of all you silly polishers and develop you to be better. No, not that. How are we going to do this? Come on, guys. How are we going to do this? So that's the sort of conversations you get in the data. I do have one other example, which you might like, just because you mentioned about teams. I only just that they're a team that are not too far away from where you are, leadership team. I'm not going to get too much detail because it exposed who they are, but seen as dysfunctional. Big transformation growth as seen as dysfunctional. And we run the GC index. Every single person on that team was, in our term, a strategist implementer or an implementer strategist, right? Practical ideas and guest stuff. The CEO was a game changer polisher. Before we got into it, is, oh, the CEO doesn't understand a thing. He's delusional. He's crazy. He's non-structured. Can't follow them. CEO's feedback to the team is, oh, they don't get it. They're slow. They're too pragmatic. They don't take risks, right? And so that's where the dysfunction was. When we showed them all the data, the CEO turned up to this two-day retreat, expensive, and said, I don't believe in strategy. And everyone went, what? It's a strategy meeting. It's a two-day strategy meeting. I don't believe in strategy. Strategy is just guessing what we need to do, why we need to do it, and how we're going to get there. That's all it is. Just get a guess. And so everyone has gone, no, that's not what it is. It's starting. You can see the arguments happening, right? Okay, already. Showed them the data, could see where he's coming from. Back to your intentions piece. The intentions were transformative. And they went, now we know why he's saying that. Now we know why we think he's that. Now we know why he thinks we're this. Let's work together. And they got there. They all work together.
It's that reduction of friction and that understanding where it's like, and again, something that I talk about a lot is because of my coaches shared this with me is the ability to be clinical in situations and take that personal element away from it. So to a point, what you're saying is like, it just makes it clinical. It helps take away that personal, emotional side of it, helps give language to it, and helps then we can figure out how to all work together. And there's something else that I say a lot is I ask myself, I encourage other people to ask them, like, does whatever the thing is, does it serve you? And that's kind of the same thing as energy. Like, does it serve you to be in a strategy role if you're a game changer? or if you have very low strategy, but does it serve you to actually be there? And does it serve the greater good of the organization? And the answer is no. And, you know, again, this allows you to kind of be able to identify that and create some solutions and rather quickly.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you're not good at it. It just, like you say, how long are you going to keep it up for? It doesn't answer.
Absolutely. So Nathan, it's been such a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for adding so much context and sharing and your soccer analogies were so great to hear. So is there anything, we're going to wrap it up here, but is there anything as far as like key takeaways? Because we cover a lot of areas. So one thing I like to do with the end of each episode is to ask the guest, are there any key takeaways that you really hope that people who are here, who are listening to this or watching, that they take from the episode?
I think firstly, I fundamentally believe that everyone has a positive impact to make. And we have created this framework. And by the way, we didn't just create it. Okay, we didn't talk about the history. It wasn't that Nathan just created this stuff, right? It was an idea that I had that fundamentally is, everyone's got a positive impact to make. And it's been through our clients and through our partners that we've moved, which has evolved into this GC Index thing. So I don't want people to think that this guy just come up with this idea and, you know, that's not how it works. Okay, it's been about 10 years of really thousands and thousands of people, companies, 50 plus countries, really honing this and forming this. So please don't think it's just something that I've created. I don't want to take all that credit. Okay, I mean, not at all. It's a journey. We carry on with that journey. But you will know, maybe you do. Maybe you know what gives you energy and what takes energy away from you and drains you. But this is a framework that can really help you understand that quickly and articulate it to others to help relationships with bosses, peers, sports teams, coaches, kids, you know, anyone that you come to life with. It's a community that we've been growing. And if anyone liked what they heard, I'd like to hear about it. But if anyone thinks that I'm talking complete nonsense, I'd like to hear that too. I'm a big polisher and things can always be better. So I like to hear the critics as well. But
absolutely. No, that's great. And folks, if you know anything about me, again, like the company that I have, SLG Impact, is based on my longtime belief in the ability to make impact. And some of the things I talk about is everybody has the propensity to lead, to not necessarily be the leader, if that's not what you're looking to do, but to lead, to make an impact, to contribute. And I love some of the things that you just said there, Nathan, because part of also what I'm very true to is evolution and evolving. And so so you have evolved GC Index. This is an opportunity for people, I think, to evolve in their abilities for contributing and impacting to actually optimize people's performance. And so again, these are all things that are very authentic to who I am and the platform that I've created. So it's an absolute honor to be able to use GC Index and the work that I'm doing these days with, you know, coaching teams and one-on-ones and in the consulting I'm doing with brands. So I'm really grateful that you've created it. Folks, if you've heard this today, any of it resonates with you, you want to talk about it, you want to explore how it could impact your business, you as a person, a team, a sports team. These are all things that I'd be happy to chat with you about. And Nathan is a wonderful support. And so you may end up on a call with Nathan and me as well. So
we're completely partner-centric. So we want to help our partners, you know, and their clients be the most impact. So I'm here to help you as ever you need.
Thank you. Nathan, have a wonderful rest of your day, folks. Thank you so much for joining. Have an awesome day, everybody. Bye.